You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. The age of the autonomous vehicle has not yet dawned, but the sun is peeking over the horizon. Are we ready? Is our infrastructure ready? Mark Wilson is a professor and program director of urban and regional planning at the School of Planning, Design, and Construction at Michigan State University. Mark, welcome.
Hello.
It's good to have you with us. Mark, when the day comes when these autonomous vehicles are out of the test stage and ready for the real world, how drastic do you think the changes will be?
I think the long-term changes could be quite dramatic. But what often happens is that we think of the end result rather than the decades of messy transition as we move from having drivers in cars to having driverless vehicles.
I think decades of messy transition is probably a wonderfully apt phrase, because I can tell you, we talk about autonomous cars a lot on the program, and we know that the engineers and the tech types have been hard at work moving us toward driverless vehicles. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes. There's been a lot of research done. And one of the reasons that urban planners and social scientists are interested is that the technology is now so advanced, but the social setting is just beginning to come to terms with what this will mean.
So that means the politicians and government officials and the social scientists, they're way behind the engineers on this road to the future of transportation. Why is that?
Well, part of it is that until you see the technology and you understand what it will do, it's hard to make predictions. The other challenge is that dealing with people is difficult. They're unpredictable. It's often hard to foresee exactly what new technology will do. We've just been through all this with the internet. 25 years when the internet first came out, it was a very straightforward technology. But when we look at the challenges of the internet, they're all around social issues, political issues, business applications, and these are much messier to deal with. And I predict that autonomous vehicles will be the same. A lot of unintended consequences will emerge.
When we talk about autonomous cars on Stateside, I will get emails from people saying, who the heck is even asking for these driverless vehicles? Because I'm not getting into one of these. Do you think the public is even further behind the road than the politicians and government officials?
We do some surveys of Michigan residents, and we found that it's a very mixed reaction. On one hand, you will see a response that says they're scary robots and I'll never go near them. And on the other hand, people are saying, I can't wait to sip my coffee and drive to work in calm.
So we have a little of both.
Yep.
And we are, looking at driverless cars close to moving out of beta testing to actually being used. In fact, the University of Michigan is ready to roll out driverless shuttles this spring, just for one example. Is our infrastructure ready?
I think in many cases, the engineers have done a good job making sure that the vehicles run on the road system we've got. But I think what we may not be ready for is how will people react when they see one, when they're driving next to one? Will they be happy sitting in one? Those are things that are just beginning to emerge. And it takes a lot of research and analysis to understand how millions of people will adapt to a new way of movement.
And also something that is still on the learning curve, as we saw, for example, the Uber pedestrian fatality out west recently. So you write in your piece in the conversation that we will probably have to expect some bumps along this road.
Oh, I think so. And the caution, though, when we look at things like fatalities is that there are a lot of fatalities already with auto vehicle accidents. And part of the thinking is, well, in the future, we may in fact be saving lives because of autonomous vehicles. But we're also very sensitive now to anything that goes right and goes wrong with them. And so while there might be thousands of pedestrian deaths, they don't get the attention that an autonomous vehicle fatality has caused. So I think that we have to be very realistic that things can go wrong and over time we will develop responses. But now is the time to think about those responses rather than waiting until we have a system in place that then needs to be changed.
When we think of the system in place, we're talking about infrastructure and where do we even begin? You mentioned the roads as they are now, but clearly things need to be developed to be ready for the world of the autonomous vehicle. How do we even get there when we can't seem to find the funding to get our existing infrastructure into an acceptable condition?
Oh, that's a very good question. And resources are going to be one of the central battlegrounds over these vehicles, because on one hand, it is a private decision to own and run a vehicle, but the infrastructure is often part of the public world of public funding. And so autonomous vehicles may require us to change how we live, how we do things, and that is a social reaction. Urban planners have dreams and nightmares about what autonomous vehicles can lead to. And on my dream side is looking at more effective use of urban space, fewer parking lots, fewer parking ramps, less traffic, more efficient resource use, fewer fatalities. So there's lots of wonderful things to see in these vehicles.
But as an urban planner, you try to figure out how technology affects us, including the unintended consequences. And you mentioned the internet, and goodness, as we just saw recently with Mark Zuckerberg getting roasted up on Capitol Hill, answering those hard questions about Facebook and our elections, we are often unprepared for what might happen when we introduce some new technology. So when you think of maybe the nightmares or the downside of autonomous vehicles, as an urban planner, what do you worry about?
Well, some of the nightmares is that one of the things that keep us living close to work is the traffic jams and traffic hassles are a deterrent. But if it's a matter of you getting into a vehicle and being able to start work instantly on your laptop and having your coffee, you may not care that it takes another 30, 40 minutes to get to work. You're doing something productive. And so one of our fears is that people will live further away from work because the commute will be so much more comfortable.
So we could see more sprawl.
Exactly. So that's just one of them. The others are all come down to how we make decisions about using urban space. We would love to have the space that is freed up, like parking lots and parking ramps, put into more productive uses, bringing vitality to cities. But if that doesn't happen, we may end up with more sprawl and more hollowed out urban areas.
What about, for example, public transit use? Because we've seen such a big push, especially in Southeast Michigan, to try to get a good, cohesive public transit authority in place. What would happen if commuters can, as you say, work on their laptops and sip coffee?
Exactly. You still have to have access to transportation, and public transport is still very efficient and often the only resource for many people to move around. If it is replaced with autonomous public transit, how will people react to it? Are there new opportunities here of having more frequent service of smaller vehicles or of looking at mobility as a complete package that combines all the different ways that people move and perhaps combining them under one ticket or one payment system?
Do you see a scenario where driverless vehicles might actually increase congestion? I mean, the backers say it's going to ease congestion and it'll all be much more efficient. But do you see scenarios where that might not happen?
Oh, of course. One of the nightmares is that individuals don't want to share. And therefore, you will own an autonomous vehicle. It will be like a chauffeur. It will take you where you want to go and then drive somewhere else to park or go back to its home base. And so we're actually increasing the number of miles driven. Now, what will happen in the future, I expect, is there will be lots of different combinations of different scenarios. But it is definitely a threat that we need to think now about using autonomous vehicles to producing better cities, rather than just letting them unfold and not thinking about what this new technology will do.
So take us a little deeper into that thought, if you would. What are the questions and the conversations we need to be having now as the engineers keep pushing and taking us towards that day of the autonomous vehicle?
Well, I think it's a wonderful time to revisit what we think about our cities, because now we have opportunities for less road space, more cycle space, greater sidewalks. We have opportunities to turn parking ramps into offices or apartments or commercial space. We have opportunities for parking lots to be put into other uses. Just look at aerial photographs of cities in the U.S. or cities in Michigan. And as you look at Lansing from the air, there's a huge amount of downtown space reserved for parking. What are the possibilities of that space being turned into something new that might bring vitality, might bring more economic activity to a city? But that needs a decision now. That needs a concerted effort to think now that that is one of our goals.
When you let your mind just kind of dive into what's coming and what the future may hold in terms of transportation and adapting our cities to be ready for that, how long do you think it will take, how many years or decades until we're, I'm going to use air quotes here, till we're there?
I think that from the reports I've seen, it's a 30 to 40 year voyage to a majority autonomous environment. But just because we could be majority autonomous by that time doesn't mean that it's automatically going to be attractive. Automobiles have been an iconic part of American life for a century. And as simple mobility, autonomous vehicles may be attractive, but we also love cars. Many people love to drive. And so it may be that there are some people that never want an autonomous option, that they like driving and they want to keep doing what they're doing now.
Would you get behind the wheel of one today and go to work back and forth if you could?
Oh, sure. I think that in many cases, they've been proven highly effective. And for things like commuting, I think that they would be great. But I'd also expect to pick up people on the way. I would look at ride sharing because having me in a vehicle alone is not really bringing any improvements to the urban landscape. All it's doing is having me be more relaxed. I think it's much more important to look at different ways we can get more people in vehicles or vehicles being shared. So when it drops me off, it goes on somewhere else and keeps functioning as a form of shared mobility.
Mark Wilson, professor and program director of urban and regional planning at the School of Planning, Design, and Construction at Michigan State University. Some interesting things to chew over. We really appreciate you speaking with us, Mark.
Thanks, Cynthia.